thankful for the opportunity to be able to come together in God's house and to read from His holy word this evening. And I trust the Lord to bless us in reading and study of His word. I want to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. I want to talk to you about several things. Really, it'll kind of end up being where our treasure is. You know, we focus on a lot of things in our lives. We really kind of are strung out sometimes. And I believe there's some things that we can do that can help us to truly focus more in line with God and His Word and His way. Before I say any more, let's go ahead and read. I trust you'll be praying tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Peter, inspired by the Lord, wrote, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We begin here tonight. The reason is it has several things mentioned that I want to look at. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now, to gird up something means to bind it up, to corral it in, to bind, to really kind of latch a hold of, to gather something. And he said, "Gird up, gather up the loins of your mind." Now, the loins normally represent the fruitfulness or the power. And so you have the strength is in the loins of a man as well as the fruitfulness, you might say. And so here he said, gather up the loins of your mind, the fruitfulness. Gather up, bind up, gather in the power of your mind, the fruitfulness of your mind. And he says here, and be sober and hope to the end. So this is where I want to begin tonight, in thinking about our mind, in gathering and thinking right. You know, we all have a problem. We have a problem with the way we think. Brother Billy had mentioned this past Wednesday night, and we've looked at it a lot over the years, and one of the main reasons is that's our main problem. It's our thinking problem. Now, your mind is thinking. That's what he's talking about, how you're thinking, your knowledge and your thoughts in the way that you're going. And he said, now, I want you to gird up the power of your thoughts. I want you to bring them in, corral them in. And I believe that there's some verses. In fact, we'll go ahead and look at some that would talk about what we're really trying to say. Let's go ahead and begin, I think, in Matthew chapter 12. And I want to try to bring some other thoughts together, as I said, dealing with the heart and the treasure, because they're all tied in. In fact, sometimes it's like when you mention one, it's all intertwined. When you talk about your heart, your mind, all of that is so closely related. And here in chapter 12, I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses of Scripture anyway that hopefully kind of gather my thoughts of where I'm going, and maybe you'll be able to see. In chapter 12, in verse 34, beginning there, he says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Now here he's talking about treasure, and he's talking about the heart. And he's talking about an evil man versus a good man. Now, the word heart is talking about your emotions, your feelings, your desire. How can you as he says here, a good heart, he said, a good man out of a good treasure of the heart, out of the good treasure. Now, the word treasure is talking about something of wealth or something of, in fact, one of the definitions was a deposit. And so he says, a deposit, it is brought out of the heart. Now, what I want to go ahead and stop here and say, I've tried to give you a little bit of definition and a few thoughts, and hopefully we can draw them all together in a little, but But anyway, what I want to try to bring together now is that here we are tonight, as we think about every one of us here, we have thoughts going through our minds. You might even be thinking, what is that crazy preacher trying to say there? But nonetheless, you have thoughts going through your mind, and you have feelings and emotions, and you have all of these things. And every one of you have something that's a treasure in your life. Now, there are some things that mean something to you naturally. You know, maybe some heirloom or something that was special to your parents is something that's been passed down. Perhaps, you know, nothing wrong with that as long as God is above that. But it's something that means something to you. It's something of value. It's something that you really like to look at. You know, somebody has a treasure. They like to pull it out. They like to look at it. They like to behold it. They like to kind of just be amazed with it and notice it and look at it. Somebody has a ring that's of great value. Sometimes they just look at it and see the glimmering light in it. And so now he talks about a good man. Now, number one, what we need to realize is that every one of us have different deposits in our life. You and I, we have a dual nature. And in fact, the Word of God says that you love God because He first loved us. But I'm going to tell you tonight that every one of you not only have the nature of God. And see, God has deposited some things in your account. He has given love. And as you go to Galatians chapter 6, you find that God, or chapter 5, that is, you find that God has given you love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness. And He lists all those things, faith, and He lists all these things there of the fruit of the flesh. That is what you have because God has deposited that within your account. And yet you find that the problem is that we have a dual nature. Every one of you here tonight, I know you, I've seen the Spirit of God in your life, and I know you have love for God. But most of you, I've been around you enough to see that not only do you have love for God, but you have love for self. You have love for things of this world. I've seen you, and I've seen me, that where we get out of line. You know, some think there's nothing wrong with pleasures of this world as long as they kept under the umbrella of God and His grace and His love. In fact, God has given us this world richly to enjoy, but under His name and in His authority and in the path that He would have us, that we're to put nothing above Him, but have all else under Him, even our family, even our whether a husband or wife or children, God is to have the preeminence of all things. Thereby, God is to be what we treasure more than anything or everything in this earth. Now, the problem is, you have not only the nature that God has deposited within your account, and I want to tell you that your spiritual man treasures all that God has given you. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. But I want to tell you tonight that God has granted you love. God has given you peace. God has given you all of these treasures. This great wealth that we have. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you have a vast wealth. But brethren, when you were born in this flesh, you also have something deposited within your account. You have a ruthless attitude. You have a sin nature. You have a me nature. You have desires that are totally contrary to the ways of God and the things of God. And I want to tell you tonight that every child, even that little sweet little baby of Brother Chris and Sister Christie's, even the baby of Brother Mac and Sister April now, while that sweet little child is in the womb, that baby is a sinner, conceived in sin, the Word of God said, is what David said, that my mother conceived me in sin. In iniquity was he formed, David said. And so a baby, even though that baby is pure and has not committed sin, you see, the bloodline is passed down, and that child is a sinner because of nature. And it won't take long before Brother Chris and Sister Christie will have full awareness of how that sweet little angelic child has Brother Chris's nature and has even maybe a little bit of Sister Christie, and that little baby begins to go contrary and they say, don't do that. They turn their back and the baby does it anyway. Why? Because of a sin nature that desires to go against and do what it want to do. And so, you see, we have that nature. Every one of you, every one of us, this idea of age of accountability. Where that a individual is not accountable or individual is not a sinner until a certain age. The problem with that, it ain't so. The Word of God teaches very plainly we're born in sin. We're formed in sin. And by the way, if that was the case, then that would mean that there would be people in heaven outside of the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you tonight, that isn't the count. Every one of us will be in heaven, not because we died before a certain age, but because of the blood of the Lord and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has cleansed us and has cleansed us and saved us from our sins. Now, you see, we have these two natures. Paul said that the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. We have, as I try to preach sometime or other a while back somewhere, that we have a split personality. Now, some of you, I've seen it, and some of us might act mean all the time. I don't know. But sometimes we all, you know, it all depends probably whether you're home with your wife or whether you're talking to someone else on the telephone. You know, most of the time we're going to be nice to one another. But if you live around one another for long, or if you're one another's homes before long, you begin to learn that, hey, they're just like I am. They have struggles and problems. They have a dual nature. They have the Spirit of God that wants to do what's right. And then you have the spirit of flesh. You know, this kind of like what Jesus told Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." On one occasion, they wanted to ask God to send down the fire. Said, "Jesus, do you want us to ask God to send down the fire to consume them?" And you know what he told him? He said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit you are of." You know what he was saying? He said, "Man, you got the wrong spirit. You're walking in the wrong spirit." That's really what I'm trying to say, is that you can walk in the spirit of the flesh or you can walk in the spirit of God. Now, here we have this treasure. And see, in fact, let me go ahead and read the next text, or the next subject, or verse I wanted to read in chapter 6 of Matthew. Listen what he says here in verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth, and where thieves corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Now, come on down here, what I'm after in 21. "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." Now, rather than your heart, again, is your affections, your feelings. And he said, where your treasure is, where your wealth is. Number one, God has given us wealth, but God has deposited things in your life. Things that mean a lot. But not only that, your earthly father, your earthly mother have deposited in your bloodline things that the flesh likes. Your nature in the flesh has things that it desires. You have this dual nature. You have this deposit, this treasure. So the problem is which treasure will rule out? And it's all intertwined. It's all interconnected. You see, the reason you think about things is because you treasure them. But now that you're born again, you have the ability now to be able to begin to think about other things. You have the ability to begin to desire other things. Before we were born again, we desired the ways of the world. We desired everything ungodly. But after you're born again, now you have this split personality. And now, some days you are, and some days you aren't. Some days you want God, some days you don't. Some days you walk like Christ, some days you don't. The more we grow spiritually, the more we can crucify the flesh and kill the flesh. But Paul said it like this. He said, "I die, not one time, not when I join the church, but I die daily. I die every day." You know what he was saying? He said, "I'm crucifying the deposits of the flesh, the wealth of the flesh." In fact, Paul said that he counted all things dung that he might win Christ. And what he was saying is all of the things that he counted wealth on one occasion, all of the things before, and certainly, brethren, he was already, I believe, born again, but yet you find that he still focused on the flesh, and he was considering the flesh, and he was walking in the flesh, and the pleasures of the flesh, and the glory, and the fame, and all of the pridefulness of the flesh. Now he said, "I count every bit of that dung." Now, let's look in just a few other places and hopefully bring some other thoughts. Now, you know, James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, if I could picture us how we are sometime, or if you could see me how I am, you wouldn't like how I look. You would see a two-headed man up here. You would see, you know, one head trying to go that way and one head trying to go that way. A dual-minded individual, a dual-headed individual, going against itself. That's why, you know, the Bible said that to be carnally minded is death, but he also said that you can't love God in mammon. You have to love one or the other. And see, that's it again. You have to have your affection set on one or the other. And where your treasure is, there your heart is. That is, brethren, what you deem as more wealth, what you deem as the greatest wealth that you have in your life. Now, some of it is this. If you pull something out, you know, what you look at, what you consider to a large degree. Have you ever forgotten about something sometime? Has there been something of value that you've had or something sentimental value? And you really didn't even know that it meant so, or you kind of forgotten it'd been on the back seat. Then all of a sudden you find it or you see it or someone shows it to you again, or you find it in your house again and you look at it and you say, this is really pretty. This thing really looks nice. This is beautiful. This really, you know, and all them feelings started stirring up again. Well, that's really what I'm trying to say tonight, is that God has deposited things within you. And a lot of time we spend most of our lives walking by sight. Most of our lives we spend focusing on the carnal pleasures of this world. And we do things that encourage them. We do things that, you know, smells and sights and feeling. We do things that encourage, and we muse and we look at the carnal things of this world, and we spend our time. I'm going to tell you, the more you look at it, you know, the devil will say, well, just one time, just look at things. Whether you want to talk about bad movies or pornography or hearing music that's not right, whatever it is, whenever you look at it, you listen to it and you pay attention to it, whatever it might be in your life, whether the pridefulness and seeking the vainglory of the world, if that's what your focus is, you see, and you begin to look at it and begin to before long, your heart, where your treasure is, there is your heart. And so what we have to do is try, by the grace of God, begin to turn our affections away from the treasures of this world. And that's one thing you got to know. See, their treasure. If it wasn't a treasure, it wouldn't be a hard thing to turn away from. It's like somebody that really likes chocolate pie, or it's somebody that likes eating. I tell you what, a lot of things I've been able to overcome, but I like eating. Most of you know that. Most of you have fed me over the years. I like to eat. I used to never show it. Brother Billy has enjoyed sometimes of me showing my, little more weight at times, because both of us like to eat. Some of you out here tonight, you like to eat. And we can tell you like to eat, just like you can on me. We all enjoy it. We all really like it. Well, brethren, you see, those are things that mean something to you. You want it. Some of those things are treasures, you might say, or something of value to you. And whatever it is, whether it's food, whether it's things of this world, whatever it is, what we have to do is turn away from nothing. Now, you got to eat. But man don't live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And you see what it is. We spend too much time, folks. And by the way, sometimes catch yourself whenever you're starting to pray at night, and you might be doing like I do every now and then. Whenever you're saying or asking God to bless at the end of the night, you say, Lord, bless this food I'm about to receive. You see, because our focus is more on food. We pray more around food. And so sometimes food becomes a god. Sometimes other things, pleasures of this world become a god. What is your treasure? Because where your treasure is will be your heart. And what we have to do is turn away. See, God has given you a better treasure. That's one thing you've got to see, is that we have a better treasure. Now, heaven is ours. That's our treasure. But I want to tell you, God has set us or lifted us up together in heavenly places. We have heavenly treasures. And then we've got to add. Remember what he says over there in Peter as well? He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. And he lists all these things that you add. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about polishing that treasure up. He's talking about making those things, exercising those things, and increasing the talents that God has given you. And he said there that a man that has found a treasure, you know what he does? Number one, brother, and I want to tell you, when you find a treasure, you'll go and sell everything you have and give it up And then, brother, you go and you buy that piece of land. I'm going to tell you what, if you find some gold out there and you went and sold all you have and you bought it, you wouldn't leave that gold in the dirt. You would mine that dirt and you would gain from those treasures. And I want to tell you tonight, that's what we need to be doing, is that as the children of God, we have been given great treasures. And when God reveals that to you, and that's part of what the gospel message is about, is to tell you about all the treasures that you have, what we can have in earthen vessels, what the Word of God said. We have this great treasure, this great light, these great blessings. And brethren, that's what the gospel is about, to reveal to you, to tell you, this is all that you have here. You can enjoy heaven itself here in your heart and soul. And that's what the kingdom of God is, and the kingdom of heaven, is that when you find out, when it's revealed unto you, then you're to buy that treasure. You're to sell all you have. And the problem is, most of us, we want to serve God and mammon. I want to buy, but I want to buy on timeshares. I want to pay by the month. I want to give a little bit here and go out there and get a little nugget, and then I want to cling and hang on to this world. But what you have to do is sell it all. You see, Jesus requires all. And I'm thankful by the grace of God we can, and there's times I have, and there's something I need to do more today. I need to give all I have to Jesus Christ. God can bless you to enjoy the blessings of this world when we give it all up for Him. But you see, you're not going to be able to until He is your treasure. Now, I want to look at just a few other things. Like I said, they're kind of brought in or they kind of work together. You see, the more you think about something, the more you begin to treasure it. The more you look at it, the more you behold it. That's why, you know, over and over you find the word where the Lord tells us to consider. In fact, the Word of God in Hebrew, consider Christ Jesus. Consider the apostle and high priest Jesus Christ. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners. Consider Him. You know what consider means? It means to behold, to look at, to pay close attention. You know what He's saying there? He's saying, I want you to get out your treasures. I want you to look at the treasures. Look what God has given you. Look at all the treasures. Those of you that have children, they're a treasure from God. Those of you, every one of us here tonight, we have treasures. We have love. You know, it's a blessing to be able to love. And I want to tell you, when we pull out the love that God has given us, and we begin to use, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When I begin to love, you know what I begin to experience? I begin to see the treasure of love. And brethren, I begin to see and experience the love of God. And that treasure means more. If you hide that love in your heart and dig it down deep and keep it in the dirt, you won't ever experience the benefit. Kind of like the prodigal son, isn't it? That he lived there with his father and all of the treasures he had as being the son of the father. And yet we find that he lived like a pauper because he did never enjoy the blessings of the Father's house. God has given you great treasures. Sometimes people have squandered it like the other brother, like the prodigal son. But the other brother, he just hid it. He never used it. He never beheld it. He never looked at it. He never gloried in it. And we have great glory. We have great blessings while we're in these earthen vessels. While we're in the flesh, we're able to have this treasure. Now, listen to this in James chapter 4. Look at this. A lot of other verses that we could look at, and there'll be a few more that we will, but in James chapter 4, in James 4, he tells us, in verse 8, he said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, this is a promise now. Then listen to what he says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. He's talking about doing some cleaning. Washing your hands in the Word of God. And he said, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, that's where we are, ye double-minded. So often. And he said, now I want you to purify your hearts. That is, your affections. Your affections. And how we do that, I believe, is beginning to see our treasure. And how we're going to see our treasure is to behold, begin to change our minds by the grace of God and begin to behold, because you have earthen treasures and you have heavenly treasures. In fact, I want to go ahead and show you a verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy. Listen to what this says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it is. He makes it very plain here. Listen to what he says. 2 Timothy 2 and 21. In fact, I'm going to read verse 20 as well. But in a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, first of all, I want to tell you, you are a great house. Now, you know, that might sound like a speech of saying, well, you are somebody. Well, I want to tell you tonight, my friends, that in the Lord, you are somebody. You are. You're someone because Jesus Christ chose you. Jesus Christ, God the Father, chose you in Christ. Jesus Christ loved you. He died for you. You know, I mean, that's amazing. What more treasure could you have than that God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth? He loved you. But out of choice, He desired you. And we find, not because you've done good, but because He desired to love you. He said, that's my child. That's my son. That's my child right there. Now, God will honor those that will honor Him, and a special love will He show to those that walk in His statutes and commandments. But I want to tell you tonight, my friends, that we have the blessings of God because God desired us, strictly that. We find here, He said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. That's what every one of us have. Some to honor, some to dishonor. You have silver and gold. In fact, I see silver in your life. I see brass in your life. I see gold in your lives. I see how you shine. Some of you are shining brighter than some of us. Some of you have shone brighter. Some of us we go back into and the world gets us dim. And then God sends you through a little bit of fire that the gold will shine forth again. That's why you have your trials even. And sometimes it's chastisement to where the dross will be burned away. But it's that the gold will shine in your life because in your life you have gold. But the fire comes as well. Why? Because you also have wood, hay, and stubble. You have foolishness. I have foolishness in our lives. Thought of foolishness is sin. We have foolishness. We have things that are not right. Many of us have affections that are wrong, desiring the things of this world and desiring the ways of the world. All of us do in various ways and means. And God is telling us that what we need is to set our affections on Him, begin to treasure the right things, because otherwise your treasure will be burned away. The wood, hay, and stubble will be burned in your trials of life. And I want to tell you today, my friend, that we have the greatest treasure of all, the love of God, the grace of God, the mind of God. All that God's given us is ours. And we can richly behold and enjoy. But we also have the flesh to contend with. And as we contend with the flesh, many times, our lives, we get so focused on worldly and fleshly things that we begin to lose the benefits of the treasures of God. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Our affections begin to wane away and begin to be set on obtaining, having things, doing things. And before long, our desires are more set on pleasing others and pleasing our fleshly selves more than pleasing God. You ever been there? Sometimes I've been certainly focused on God and desired Him and pleased Him. And other times, my affection's on Him. One way, Brother Billy has, and we mentioned these Wednesday night, but just a few, where he says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 and 5, he talks about bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. You see, when we begin to bring in, when we begin to bind up our mind, the loins of our mind, we begin to corral them up and begin to focus on the power of God and focus on His Word, and we begin to think right, whatsoever things are true or lovely or just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, He said, think on these things. The more we think on those things, then the more we're beholding the glories of God, whether a ring or whatever you might behold, I want to tell you, when you behold the grace of God, before long, your affections, you know, consider Christ. In fact, we even have on here, before long, communion we'll be having. And we have the statements on the table up here. As oft as you do this in remembrance of me. We're to behold Christ. We're to think about Christ. So I just want to ask you today, what's your treasure? Is it God? Is it Jesus?
Is it the things of God? Is it the Word of God? Or is it the things of this world? And again, I'm not telling you you can't enjoy none of the things of the world. I'm just saying your treasure. Where is your treasure? If you lost everything tonight of this world, would it really bother you that bad? You see, too often, many of us, our whole lives are on affection. And see, all these things round about us can be gone tomorrow. Those of you that are a little older, not that you're old, but you've seen now the things that you've had in days gone by, they just don't mean as much to you now, do they? Why? Because you can't carry them home with you. None of it really means. They don't really give you joy. The joy in having any of these things, if you're able to share it, if you're able to use it, if you're able to enjoy it with your family and your friends, those are things that matter. Friends and family. I talked to one of my boss men that David Wall had passed here a few weeks back, and I talked with his father one day, and his father was talking about, he said, he said, I would give, and he's a wealthy man. He said, I would give everything I have, he said, to be able to have the friends that I have. He said, I couldn't have made it without friends. And he said, you know, it don't matter whether you have all the money in the world without friends. He said, I couldn't have made it. And you know, I could tell it was from the depths of his heart that he was seeing that his treasure was friends and love that God, he said, God had blessed me and God had helped us to make it through this or we couldn't stand it. I want to tell you, friend, that's what matters most of all. Many of you and all of you have had sufferings and lost loved ones, and I want to tell you, whenever your treasure is on God and when you see the riches of God is love and the love that He gives us through people, that's more valuable than any money. That'll bring greater joy than anything else. God bless you. Where your heart is, there's your treasure. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. God help us to focus, to bring in our minds and focus them on the Lord, that we begin to desire Him, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.